This is
The Run Home,
the AFL Riverina Finals Podcast with your host, Luke Francis.
And good morning, everyone, and welcome along to The Run Home for week five of our AFL Riverina Podcast, our final week for this year on Riverina Football League Grand Final week. Of course, the Griffith Swans taking on the Collingully Demons this weekend, and we can't wait. About time now to welcome in our panel this morning, and right across on the other side of the desk is the man from the Wagga Daily Advertiser, Matt Malone. Of course, picked up another flag on the weekend, and he joins us now. Good morning to you, Matt.
Morning, Luke. How are you going?
I'm very well, thanks, mate. Congratulations on the weekend's win.
Yeah, no, thank you. It was a good weekend for the Mara Footy and Netball Club, 4 from 4, so they'll... we'll struggle ever to beat that, I think, out there. So, no, it was a good couple of days out at Mara on the weekend. Looking forward to this weekend too.
Yeah, and remarkably, you're looking quite fresh.
Yeah, no, that's right. Behave myself.
That's it. Ned Balm from Prime 7 is with us as always. Good morning to you, Ned.
Morning, mate. Nothing is eventful for me. I was just, you know, head to the grindstone, do my job, report on the games. No funny business. Get back to it.
Busy times, isn't it?
Oh, yes, for about a week more and then... footy's over and then we all don't know what to do.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Spring Carnival, don't it? We look forward to that.
100%.
Yeah. Guys, our special guest this morning is the man from the Wagga Tigers, of course, in his final year there, and he was named captain of the Riverina Football League Team of the Year this year. What an effort. And he joins us right now, Sean Campbell. Good morning to you, Sean.
Luke, lads, thanks for having me.
No worries at all.
Congratulations, Sean, on being named the top man or captain, at least, in the RFL Team of the Year. You must have been stoked. Well done.
Yeah, cheers. I certainly was. Yeah, it was not a bad way to sort of finish my time here. Absolutely.
For sure. Tell us about your time here, Sean. Picking up the ultimate success, a flag with the Wagga Tigers, that must have been an amazing highlight for you. And, well, it must have played on your mind still a fair bit.
Yeah, definitely does. It was a lot of fun and sort of coaching in my first year. Picked up a flag. And, yeah, sort of almost went through undefeated. So, yeah, I'm never going to forget that one.
Yeah, tell us about the Wagga Tigers from an insider's point of view, internally, and what the club is all about and what it stands for.
Yeah, sure. Great club. I've loved every minute of coming here. I've thoroughly enjoyed my time, and the club was very welcoming and still are. And the people who've sort of stuck about for the last 2 years when the time was tough has been really good.
So whilst you did pick up the flag and did climb to the top of the tree, this season, for example, it's been a little tough, hasn't it, for you guys? Or was a little tough?
Yeah, certainly has. Lost probably 11 the first year of sort of my top 10, I reckon. Mm. And then same again, lost about 8. So we've lost close to a full football side in 2 years, unfortunately. It's hard to come back from.
What do you think that is, Sean? Why have you lost so many guys?
Just lost a few boys who played here already for a few years or were juniors growing up and hadn't really been anywhere, and they'd played in 2 prelims prior to my arrival and just wanted that ultimate prize and got that for a few of them, and that was it, and they wanted to go play some better footy. So you can't really argue with that, and you're going to push people to go play better footy where they can.
If you had your time over again, would you have come here and done it and stayed the 3 years? Have you enjoyed every minute of it?
Yeah, absolutely. I've thoroughly enjoyed the whole time, which was probably evident with me staying on for the third year, even though I sort of knew times were going to be tough. But I've really enjoyed the time, and I've probably felt a bit nostalgic the whole time because I'm very similar to Nowra, where I grew up.
Yep.
You've had the 3 years. I guess what's the thing you like least about coaching? Is it the recruiting? Is it thinking of ways to set up training? Is it handling off-field stuff? I guess what's the thing you didn't enjoy the most of your time coaching here?
Yeah, you hit it with one there, and that's probably recruiting. It's probably the most unrewarding part about it. So the season finishes, and for most teams, you're already feeling pretty ordinary, and all you do is you ring 75 blokes and you blow a lot of wind up their backside and make them feel really good just for them to let you down at the end of the day.
Yeah, sucking up to ordinary footballers must be tough.
It is very tough, let me tell you.
Yeah.
As I'm a bit of a straight shooter.
Yeah.
Tell us, footy, you've been here now for 3 years and you've spoken about the premierships and things that have gone right. Where, as a footy community or a footy league here, do you think we need to get better at, or where do we need to improve, or things we need to get better at?
Good question. The million-dollar question. Off the top of my head, probably just try and retain players as much as you can, obviously as hard as it is, because a lot of players obviously want bigger and better things, especially if they're juniors. They want to go and better themselves in a better league, which you'd 100% push for. But this salary cap coming in is going to do them no favours whatsoever.
Yeah, you're not a fan of the salary cap?
No, only because you bring everyone. You might be bringing everyone back, but prices are going up at the moment,
yeah.
Unfortunately. And everything, yeah, it's probably just, I don't think anything's going to help.
I suppose the argument is all the country and metropolitan leagues, I think, around the place, are you going to go to salary caps eventually? Do you think that will work, or do you think that'll get, there's ways of rorting it, basically?
Yeah, absolutely. Half of it will just go under the table, if you want my honest opinion.
Yep.
There's no reason why it can't. It's not policed. Well, it can't be policed well enough. It's not like it's the AFL, and you've got to hand everything over, unfortunately.
One last one then. Does the player point system work?
Yeah, absolutely. That'll work. It'll only work for sort of the top end clubs. Most clubs down here would sort of scrape in easily. I know we have, and a lot of the clubs around here, you get value for retaining players.
Yep.
So talking back, focusing back on Wagga Tigers, 3 years there, flagging the first year, but down years a couple after that. Is there ever a time as a coach where you question, I guess, how good you are as a coach or your capabilities when you have the, I guess, you start at the top and then work your way down? Does that ever come into your mind?
Yeah, absolutely, it does. Yeah. You think you're $1 million when you're winning, and then you think, oh, yeah, this would be a good challenge, and then you question. But like, hopefully you've got some supportive people around you, and they sort of will not keep you in check, but tell you the reality of it, and you've just got to make sure you don't let it fester.
How do you feel coming into the role, especially because the Wagga Tigers have always got a target on their back? I've learnt that even in my brief time living here, that whether it's a jealousy of having the big ground, or I'm not sure what it is, or having the lights, or having whatever, I don't know what it is, but I've noticed there's a lot of built up angst towards the Tigers. How'd you go coming in from out of town and coming in, taking on the role, winning a flag in the first year? Must have created a pretty big target on your back.
Yeah, absolutely loved it, if I'm honest with you. I'd probably relish in those circumstances. I sometimes tend to, when I've got my back against the wall and everything's against me, I sometimes go all right, which is handy. But yeah, it was when I played in Ainslie, it was the exact same. We were the most hated club, and I'm just used to it, I suppose.
Yeah.
So where's the, no, you haven't sorted a next step out just yet, but is that on your main to-do list? You're just searching for the most hated clubs in each league and saying, all right, I'm going to go there?
The number one prerequisite at the top, must be hated.
Yeah, Sean, you've obviously spent some time and played with some great players whilst you've been at the Wagga Tigers. Can I ask you who are some of the better players you've played with internally, and who are some of the better players you've played against at opposition clubs?
Certainly. At the Tigers in 2016, I'd have to say Dale Walker and John Anstey. Just every time the ball flew over your head, you knew it was going to come pinging straight back out. And they'd get a run in any sort of AFL team for mine, and probably the best country footballers I've seen. Then you had Sean Flanagan on the wing, and Jack O'Kelly and Jake Gainey. You had no shortage of talent going through there. And I played with off topic, I played with some really good footballers at Ainslie too, so.
Yeah, okay. Did you want to, while we're going, just name a couple from the tricolours as well?
Yeah, a few came up from straight off Box Hill's list up there. You had sort of Johnny Holmes and Marcus Crooks. He came out of the footy factory down there at Geelong, and there was a few others. We actually had Rob Shirley. I don't know if you remember him from the Adelaide Crows.
Yeah.
Played about 150 there. Judd actually said he was probably one of his toughest taggers. So, yeah, played with some good footballers.
Yeah. And lucky. What about opposition teams in the RFL, and if you like, from the Canberra AFL as well?
Certainly. Best footballers here I've probably played against, obviously Jaden Klemke would probably be your number one, and his resume sort of speaks for itself. Definitely Will Griggs. I reckon he was probably a bit better actually at when he was playing for Queanbeyan. And also I've had some good battles with Benny King from Griffith too, so thoroughly enjoyed it.
Just quickly, you mentioned taggers before with Shirley. Who, and you got tagged most weeks, so probably a little bit different to the best footy players you played against, but who were some of the better taggers? Do you remember them?
From here?
Here, yeah.
Yeah, Isaac Horton who
from Leighton
who tagged me in the grand final, did a good job. Didn't cry boo, but didn't let off.
Yep.
And Tommy Keogh's actually done a pretty good job a couple of times. So.
Yep. No, very good.
Do you think there's a significant role for the taggers in local leagues around here?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably not utilised enough, I don't reckon. Definitely.
How's the umpiring? And this is definitely not. Please don't think I'm having a pot shot at the umpires here, but.
Go for your life.
How do you think is the tagging policed well enough in country footy? Like, I mean, in the AFL, I mean, it's scrutinised all week. We've got so many camera angles. We've got three umpires on the field. They're professionals. in country footy, how hard is it to be tagged, Sean, throughout a game? And do you think there is enough focus on it?
Very difficult, and no, there's probably not enough focus on it, if I'm honest. But the beauty of the AFL is they've got cameras to look at it, and they've also got lots of eyes looking at it as well. So they've got another set of eyes looking at that, and it's probably not looking at it enough. Looking at it for mine, no.
Yeah, and I reiterate that I do want to protect the umpires there as well as the players, in that they just don't have the support, do they? The resources, when we mention the cameras. And obviously, the AFL being a multi-million-dollar industry, it is tough, isn't it, Matty?
Yeah, 100%. Push footy. And you mentioned the cameras there, and I think with this year we've had, and you've been done by the camera a couple of times this year, but we've had one game done by the AFL, but I think it's got to a stage, and this is just a quick, I don't know what you think, Sean, but it's got to the stage there where we need to have every game done, and I think it's up to the clubs. If they can, you know, if the salary cap's there at $100,000, they're willing to spend that on players. They can spend $2,000 a year on filming their home games, and that way we can all, you know, that gets sent to the AFL or whatever.
Exactly.
However, it gets reviewed from there. But I think Group 9 do it. It's about time. Mm. We review, you know, we'll have all our games filmed. What do you reckon about that one?
Yeah, absolutely. It shouldn't be up to the clubs. It should be up to the local AFL to do that. And it's a good tool for everyone. It's a good tool for umpires. Clubs can come and get the footage if they chip in or whatever. But, yeah, couldn't agree with you more.
Speaking of the filming, like you mentioned, Matty, Sean came undone by the film a couple of times, a trial game suspended for 3 weeks. I guess spending that time going from playing coach to being on the sideline, what did you pick up there, that time that you had to, I guess, coach from the sideline? I mean, I suppose technically you weren't allowed in the precinct, but that time that you spent, did it give you a bit of time to reflect on things or how you go about your business?
It certainly did, but 3 weeks too many. Very tough. Very tough not being able to say anything when you can see things unfolding. One thing I will say, I do believe if you're suspended as a player, then you shouldn't be able to play, but if you're not suspended as a coach, then you should still be able to coach.
I guess, that's a good point. Yeah, how did you go about that as a coach in terms of delegating? Because obviously you can't exactly do everything the way you'd want to do it.
Absolutely. Very hard. And I was lucky that I had sort of Brendan Crawford, the reserve grade coach from the Tigers, to be able to step up and sort of do most of it. So I just did, any sort of good coaches have most of the stuff done by Saturday anyway, and Saturday sort of looks after itself with rotations and whatnot. They just need a bit of a motivating and talking through it. But yeah, other than not being able to say anything, yeah, pretty tough.
From my point of view, the way I see you play your footy, you play it at 100 miles an hour, and anytime you have caught the eye of anything tribunal suspension wise, it hasn't been anything overly egregious in my mind. It's just been hard at it footy that, you know, sometimes can go a little too far on occasion. But how do you go about, I guess, tempering your style of play, especially in a day where people look at vision and people watch so much AFL that we've started to micro-analyse every single event as it happens. And we just mentioned that we haven't got every game filmed, yet that's just the way that people are analysing events these days. They're saying, look, he hooked the arm there, but he pulled his hips down here. And do you think it's all gone a bit too far with the actual analysing of incidents?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel it's probably gone a little bit too far in the AFL as well, but that's the way it's all going now, and that's the way we've all sort of got to adjust to it. And we're at local footy and local levels, and you're not going to be able to have that technology, unfortunately, so you just got to make do. But
if that for you is just kind of continuing as you are and having faith in yourself that you're not the type of player that intentionally does that, and that's just pretty much bad luck most of the times?
Yeah, correct. And you can probably get away with a little bit more in country football as well, as it's not filmed or anything like that. So yeah, I tend to go pretty hard and I've got myself in a bit of trouble sometimes.
Sean, I want to ask you about your training regime. For any of those who have seen you play, you cover so much ground and rack up the case. Your odometer must be ticking over at a pretty high level. Do you do extras outside your footy training during the week? And if you do, what are they and what does it involve?
Yeah, I've always sort of prided myself on being pretty fit. I've always tried to get, the boys for the last couple of years, super fit as well, because I feel like in country football, if you're super fit, you're probably halfway home, mentally and sort of physically as well. But yeah, if you want to run at an elite level, then you've got to do more than just sort of run around on a Tuesday and a Thursday and tap the footy round. And you probably need another sort of two sessions under your belt, and that's a bit of hard running by yourself.
You do, Sean?
Yeah, normally do a couple of sessions by myself, if not before or after training or on different days. It also is hard getting a little bit older with dealing with soreness as well. But
So are they purely running sessions?
Correct.
And how hard are you talking? Are you talking sprinting? Are you talking laps? Can you give us a bit more of a...
Yeah, I try and mirror. I've done a fair bit of research on what they're doing in the AFL. I was lucky enough to know a few people in the AFL who have a bit to do with the training regimes and how they run and the distances they run and your heart rate and what sort of what they go on. So just short, sharp bursts of no more than 110 metres, just running at absolutely full on, full tilt. Because if you're not running at full tilt in footy, I feel you're either walking, jogging or running at full tilt. So you'd want to be doing most of your training at 100%. If not, you're not really going to get better.
Yeah. Dane Swan was one that would go on and just burst at just absolute full tilt, wouldn't he? And then they'd rotate him straight off. And a lot of the time, he spent a lot of time on the pine, or it seemed like that. But every time he stepped over that chalk, it was full on, wasn't it?
Every time he kicked a goal, he was off to the bench. He was probably the first player that I remember routinely going to the bench to the point where you would never see him celebrate a goal, because as soon as he's kicked it, he's back to his teammates, straight off to the bench, get the most out of him in 2 minutes' time.
And he was sprinting off, wasn't he? He was really working hard.
I don't think he's doing too much sprinting or working hard now. He seems to be living his best life, I think.
Yeah, that's it. Okay, mate, we'll move on. Look, while you're here, mate, we might review the prelim final on the weekend, played between the Gairmain Lions and the Griffith Swans at the Narendra Sports Ground. What a wonderful game this was. Went out and watched it, and you wouldn't see a better game of park footy, and I must say that. The game and lead to and fro all day. It was free-flowing. Look, just when you thought one team was on top, the other one would wrestle the lead back. And I must say, one of the players you brought up there, Sean, earlier, and one of the best opposition players you played against in Will Griggs, the coach of the Griffith Swans, he was absolutely amazing on the weekend. I've only seen him play twice, and boy, geez, impressed me, Matt. He is a true leader.
Yeah, no, 100%.
And just when he needs something for his team, and he needs to, I suppose, pick them up with a team-lifting goal or a team-lifting moment in the game, he's there and he does it.
Yeah, and I think he'd probably agree that was probably one of the best games he's played for Griffith. It was, as you say, a really captain's performance. He's shown, too, that most of the year he's probably spent on half-back flank, but he was also able to go into the midfield and impact the game in there, kick goals. And it's really interesting to see where he'd line up now this weekend, whether he'll start himself on a back flank or have him in the midfield. Sean, where would you have him?
Oh, if he's been playing all his, might as well stick to what works. If he's starting off the half-back line, then he might as well leave himself there for sure.
Just on that, Sean, can you remember where he played at Queanbeyan or played most of his footy in the nation's capital?
Yeah, he was just midfielder, in and under. Okay. Yeah, he'd be getting it out for him.
Yep.
He seemed to do a really good job on the weekend of he'd get the ball, and while it was a real high press, real good physical game of footy, played at a really fast pace, but he seemed to do a really good job of getting that, I guess, those two or three false steps just to give him a bit of time. And his disposal out of the pack was actually really good, even if it was just a short 10-15 meter outlet kick. It kind of slowed the pace down a little bit, I guess, out of that frenetic state like Gairmain liked to play it at.
Yeah, you bring up a very good point there, Ned. He's a very good decision maker, and his presence with the ball, like you say there, in the last quarter when he kicked that telling goal, I should say, up the southern end, he balked one way, came back the other, and then slotted it. But it just seems as if he's got the presence of mind not to lose his head and just to make the right decision 9 times out of 10.
Sean, you played the last couple of seasons with a team full of kids. I guess how important is it to have those players like Grigor that you can kind of build around, just to know that they're going to have that composure during the game when it matters most? Because as you've probably seen dealing with kids, a lot of players don't get that until a much later age.
Yeah, absolutely. Senior footy's going to be everything for any sort of kids getting around this league. But yeah, that'll instill some good traits in them for sure.
On just what Ned's mentioned there, Sean, have you had to pull, I'm guessing you've had to pull younger kids in that may get on at their first grade game or are only played a handful, and they really are on the bit, they really are full on, full of enthusiasm, they're going 100 mile an hour. Do you have to, on occasions, pull them back and say, hey, just settle down a bit and play a little bit more calmly, if you like?
Never.
You let them go, do you?
Yeah, more enthusiasm, the better. I generally think I don't get enough out of them, so I'm generally pretty hard.
Is that right?
Them.
So yeah. Bullet a gate.
Yep. Yeah, they're generally pretty timid and pretty nervous and unsure as to whether to go. Look, some of them are 16, 17, and they're going up against me and Mountain, and they're just going to be a bit more timid. You're not going to have someone run through the pack straight off the bat, and that's what you sort of want.
Something I will mention about the game on the weekend. Have you Do you remember seeing a better example of set shot kicking in a game in recent memory?
Yeah, it's
just
a good point, yeah.
Just the first, I think, Jethro Peck from a couple of goals from probably where the boundary intersects with the 50 with a cross breeze taking it away from the goals, and Corbett as well. It's just this, like, it's the stuff that's exciting to me, because I always played my footy within 25 metres of the goal square. So when I see a set shot, my eyes light up, because we don't see probably enough good set shot kicking a goal. But it was an outstanding display. And I think Ganmain only had maybe 8 goals won or 9 goals won or something to one stage in the game.
Yeah, you're right. Rather than seeing goals blow past the goal face, they were blowing in, weren't they?
So yeah, each player having a set shot of goal seemed to have a really good idea of where they wanted the ball to go, whereas in previous weeks up at Narangera, where you kind of get that swirling breeze, a lot of players really kind of fell victim to it.
It had been pretty ordinary, hadn't it?
It had been shocking. Yeah.
Didn't Jethro Peck have a big impact for a bloke who has probably played off the bench as a backup ruckman for most of the year? I thought he probably played the game of his life almost there, to set the lines alight early on.
Yeah, he really helped take a lot of the pressure off Corbett as well, to know that you've got that second option up there that's kicked 3 goals to halfway through the third quarter, and all of a sudden you can't just start floating 2 or 3 guys over to a young kid. It was pretty massive for the Lions.
While we've got Sean here, do you see Riley Corbett play a couple? Did he play both times against you guys this year?
Yeah, he did. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on him? And I don't think we'll see him around here for much longer. Where do you think, or, you know, what's the best place for a young key forward to go and develop if he doesn't make an AFL list?
Obviously down in Melbourne, you probably can't, no one will probably argue with that. Obviously the closest to homes too, so that's probably going to be your best bet, I'd imagine. Just go throw yourself amongst the sort of the best down there and go throw yourself up with some sort of VFL or even Divi 1 centre-half fullbacks.
Yeah, did he impress you from what you saw of him this year?
Yeah, absolutely. He's a good grab and he's a great set shot. And his toughness will come with age as well. So he'll start crashing a few packs and letting a few centre half backs know.
Full credit, and just quite quickly, one last one from me. Full credit to Ganmain for the year they had. They won 2 games last year, lost players early. Christian Macri came in and was happy to work with the young kids. They got a few recruits as well, but you know, for them to go, well, they looked at one stage like they were going to make the grand final, didn't they, there on Sunday. For them to have the year they had, they'll still be disappointed at the moment that they're not there, but I think you got to take your hat off to them and the efforts they did out there this year.
What would you recommend Ganmain's approach be now? Do they look at it as, okay, we're in the window now, strike while the iron's hot, or do they kind of have to take a step back and kind of realise that, hey, it was only a year ago that we'd only won 2 games. Let's not just assume that we've fixed everything in the span of 12 months.
No, I think you strike all the on top. Like, they're definitely in the window. They were, a kick away from beating Gully in the qualifying and then arguably had their chances to win on Sunday. So, no, I think you strike all the on top. Look, if Riley's not going to be there, it's going to probably open up the need for a key forward. But yeah, that would be their number one target.
Good thing is they have no shortage of guys who can fill the role admirably in the meantime, and no shortage of tools in the team as well. So it's not like they're, obviously you're losing the leading goal kicker, it's never going to be an easy guy to replace, but they seem to have a pretty good list to at least, deal with it in the meantime.
Yeah, I think they've got some tools there. I definitely think if Riley goes, it may open up leave a hole there. I suppose you could put also there, but you want him in the ruck. So, yeah, I definitely think they'd want to replace him.
Add him to the growing list of Riverina clubs searching for a key forward.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, guys, so it was the Swans on the weekend by 17 points over the Lions, 97-80. So that brings us to the grand final, and the Swans go through now to meet the Demons. And, if we had a 50-50 game on the weekend, we've got another genuine one, I think, this weekend in the grand final, like we had in last Saturday's Farrell League grand final, if you like. So we've had some really great football finals. Who do we like, boys? They're so hard to split. Matt, I'm putting you in the hot seat. I'm sorry, mate. I'm going to ask you first. Yeah.
You've gone to me first, and I'm actually generally that torn. I'm still deciding. So I'm going to make it up on the spot. Look, I leant towards Colin Gully after the last time, and then only after the weekend and watching how impressive Griffith were, I started to swing back to them. But I'll stick to Colin Gully. I thought they were the better side 2 weeks ago. I think they've got players in there who know how to win flags. I think Jaden Klemke, they'll probably bring Jaden Klemke and Luke Gestia back in. yeah, it's a risk, but I think, you know, Jaden Klemke is a classy player. You add those two on top of the side that beat Griffith a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, I'll go Colin Gully by goal. Best on ground. Look, I'll go with the big key forward. I'll go with Gep. I reckon he's moved up the ground as an R forward this final series, and it's worked really well. I think he'll have a big impact on the game. And then the unsung hero, Nick Kennedy. I like Nick Kennedy as a footballer. I like all the Kennedy boys. But, yeah, Nick Kennedy sort of slipped into the side there a couple of weeks ago, back into the side, and he's a good footballer. So there's my three or four.
Very good, Matt. I'd like to... Matt Malone from the Wagga Daily Advertiser. We'll go to Ned Balm from Prime 7. Ned? It's hard, isn't it?
For the sake of good radio, I'm going to disagree.
This is outrageous.
I know. What a concept.
Pull your head in.
Yeah, I know. You're getting a bit too big. Bit too big from britches here. I'm probably in the same boat where I think it's only going to be, like you said, a goal. Could be a 12-point swing one way or the other. I'm probably going to go Griffith as well, just in the space of a goal. Best on ground, assuming he doesn't get another yellow and 15 minutes on the pine, I'll probably go Jordan Utica, just because his ball winning ability and the way he uses that left boot around the ground can pop up and kick two or three.
He's classy
as well. I think he's been, as much as I love Jared Lane winning the Quinn, I think Utica was probably the class midfielder going around the competition this year. So I think he'll get best on ground. Unsung hero, he might be... might be Chris Duncan again. He might pop up and kick three.
Right.
Might pop up and kick three or four. Might ruffle a few feathers. Maybe get somebody sent off just by pure frustration. You never know. He's just one of those. He's got a bit of the... I mean, he wears...
He's a nuisance, isn't he?
He's got a bit of the Milnes about him. So so yeah, I'm probably going to Griffith for a goal. Utica for best on ground. Sean, you've seen both teams this year. Who at their best is the better team in your mind?
Oh, I feel like Gully. For a simple, quick answer, just feel their endeavour at the ball and the way they move, it's probably a little bit superior to that of Griffith, but they went through. They didn't lose a game, so don't listen to me.
Do you think there's something to be said about the grand final experience?
Oh, absolutely. That's probably probably three big factors for why I've gone Gully, and that's definitely one. Grand final experience and being there before is very important.
I saw a few of the Swans guys seem to be celebrating pretty hard last weekend, as in, not to let anybody misconstrue that, on the field after the game, celebrating hard, I spoke to Grigor afterwards, and he was, very much towing the line, saying, we know we have one more game to win, but you could tell there was a lot of relief on the faces of the players who didn't want to be that team that won 16 games during the year and then didn't even make the grand final. So, I don't know, do you feel that could work one of two ways, whether that's, finally getting that loss and then making their way into the grand final is going to be good for them, or have they already played their grand final just by making it?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a few different factors there, I suppose. But yeah, I can't look past Gully at this stage unless they go in with a couple of hamstrings. I'm that very skeptical about doing that. You don't want to be too down on the bench a quarter in or at half time. That is going to be detrimental. But I'm still sticking with them because they got it done the week before, and I just think they're going to have a bit more in them, I think.
You mentioned hamstrings just then, how temperamental they can be. I saw a couple of weeks ago Jaden Klemke was running water whilst not playing due to a hamstring injury. Would you have had him running water if he's staying off the game?
Depending on how it's feeling and if it was only sort of some gentle straight line stuff, it's normally the explosive stuff that does hamstrings. So if he'd probably didn't do him any harm, I don't know.
Those water boys have got to get out of the region pretty quickly.
Yeah, sometimes I suppose. Don't know.
Sean, so you're going with Colin Gully. Can we get a best on ground for you from you?
Matt asked me this before, and I just went with young Jimmy Kennedy. He just sort of does the bit of the in and under work, and is a bit of a ball magnet, and can slip forward and kick a few goals. So I've gone with young Jimmy.
James Kennedy. Okay, I'm going to go with the Swans absolutely only narrowly. Colin Gully, as I mentioned on this podcast before, absolute seasoned final specialist up against the new kids on the block, if you like. They haven't been there for quite a while, Griffith. And I'm just going to go Griffith. I reckon Will Griggs is an absolute beauty. And I reckon what he did on the weekend for his football club was enormous. Whether or not they can go another week and get the job done again, we'll obviously have to wait and see. Colin Gully are just such a magnificent country football club in that they know what it takes to make grand finals. They know how to play them, and they know Narendra like the back of their hand. But I'm going to go with Griffith just on the back of what I saw last week. And if I went best on ground, I'd have to stick with Griggs. Unsung hero. I reckon anyone who rucks all day in a grand final at Narendra deserves some kind of medal. In that case, I might go maybe young Irvin. Cuny or may swap with him, and maybe Ben Klempke. So all the ruckmen who have to contest the ruck and will be running through the middle on the weekend, good luck to them, because they've got to do a power of work at Narendra. And by gee, they'll come off bruised and battered. There's no doubt about that. Rightio, we'll have some fun now, Sean. We're going to ask you some quick questions here, mate. I know you've been looking forward to this. You just look at that grin. It's just growing from ear to ear over there. Nicknames, mate. Have you got any nicknames, Sean Campbell?
Oh, I got one. Yeah, Stumpy.
Stumpy. Are you allowed to say where you?
We'll just move on.
Okay, next question, Matt Malone.
As a personal trainer, what local players do you see around local gyms? Can you tell us who's putting in a lot of extra work behind the scenes?
Jaden Klempke's in there a fair bit, actually.
Is
a
he?
Few of the Mango boys get in there in a few groups, and who else? I see a few Farrah boys in there as well up at Accelerate, so that's always good to see.
Speaking of gyms, your impending move down to Melbourne, I believe Empower Gym down there, a few of the boys you've played with before. What can you tell us about that little, venture down there?
Yeah, Jackson has obviously opened a gym down there just near Footscray. So credit to him, and I'll probably do a bit of work in there, and it's sort of class-based. It's probably I won't say that. It's class-based, and it's very good. They've done a pair of work in there, and it's come up an absolute treat. So get around it. Good little plug there in Power Gym.
That's Jackson Q too, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen a few of the AFL boys getting around there too. I saw Jacob Townsend was in there the other day, and Matty Suckling as well.
Yeah, he's got some good contacts down there, and he's trained both of them, and yeah, so you'll get a few more down there. I think Steel Sidebottom's been through, so yeah.
Oh, look out.
Sean, there's rumours going around that you've played in a fourth grade cricket premiership. How does that compare to the flag of the Tigers?
Back to back, I'll just clear that up.
It's true.
Two.
Wow.
Two.
That's amazing.
How does it compare?
It doesn't.
No, it definitely does, because the second one we shouldn't have won. There was an absolute... some power hitting done by young Michael Keatley. That's something I'll never ever see again. He slotted a good seven over the rope off a good length. Something you'll never ever see.
Wow, there you go.
Now, we hear you're a member of an illustrious Century Club with St. Mick's fourth grade. Would you rather hit a six off the last ball of a game to win or kick a goal after the siren?
This is question of the day, hands down, because I love my cricket. Oh, I don't know which way I love a bit more, cricket or footy. I'd love to kick a goal after the siren. That'd be something else, I reckon.
Never done it?
No.
Would you embrace it, or would you, you actually look forward to doing it, or would you dread having to have a shot after
the siren? No, I'd get right around it.
That's a great question. Yeah.
I'd get right around it.
Would you?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Give me the ball.
You'd be thinking of, what would your go-to celebration be? Goal after the siren?
Oh, I don't know. I'd be doing some sort of fist pumping and
yeah, you've done a few over the time. Yeah,
depends where it was from too,
and where the game was being played, home or away.
Correct.
Any footy superstitions, pre-game, post-game, anything in between?
No, not really. Just only a couple we used to, which I've sort of swayed from, was just we used to have spag bowl in Canberra every Friday night. Had to be the same for the boys and garlic bread, but I'm not so much so. Have these little things that come in and out, but always changing sort of food and whatnot.
Have you noticed any interesting superstitions of any players you've played with?
Yeah, a few of the boys, Nico and Campbell, them like sitting in the same box, and if you get them out of their pigeonhole, look out. But other than that, not really. John Buchanan, he's a weird unit. He's got some strange things, but...
Sean, who do you follow in the AFL, firstly?
Sydney Swans supporter, only just sort of by default, because I grew up in more close to Wollongong. Dad supported them, and they were the closest team, so it hasn't been too bad, actually.
Yeah, what did you think of their year this year, the Swannies?
Yeah, not too bad. I think they've sort of been doing the same thing for a few years now. He's probably going to have to change it up and roll something new out, because it sort of worked for a little while. I think people are sort of getting on top of it and working it out. You've got to be forever evolving in AFL footy, so sure the big horse will sort them out.
Yeah. With talking about Sydney, one of the big talking points for the Swans is always, you know, it's going to always go back to, is Buddy worth it? Based on how he's played, do you think that it's been a good investment with him? And do you think his investment is purely based on, do you win a flag out of him being there?
Yeah, I don't know. He sort of pops up. I don't think he's sort of consistent enough for mine. He's sort of pops up and does some good things every so often, and it's your game or off here and there. Whether he's worth 10 million, I think, is another debate, but probably not, really, if you want my honest opinion.
Do you think it's fair that a player gets that kind of, you know, it's a 22 blokes on the field, and all of a sudden one player, if he doesn't win a premiership with his time at the club, it's an abject failure? Do you think that's, I guess, fair to him?
Oh, not necessarily. He's laughing. He's got $10 million. Doesn't matter what happens.
Who's your tip for the AFL Grand Final?
You can't look past Richmond. The way they're playing footy at the moment, no one sort of keep up with them, and that sort of frantic style is really paying off for them. They look like a really tight-knit bunch, which is good too.
Who do you think they'll play in the Grand Final?
Oh, I'd love to see them in West Coast. Oh, I can't stand Collingwood.
So MCG Grand Final, that's whatever, MCG, that's, you know, nobody's business. Best ground in the Riverina?
Oh, I have to be my home one for the last couple of years. Robbo.
You're talking about Robbo, not the cricket ground.
Not the cricket ground, no. Okay. Not Bolton, no, that's a goat track.
Sean, we got down here. Tell us about the ever-changing hairstyles of yourself at the Wagga Tigers. How many have you had now?
A few different. Rolled a few different things out. But I finally got past the weird length just below the ears and grew it for a while, and that was a bit of fun, doing that.
Going with the homeless look there for a while, weren't you?
Yeah, and then I got the big beard and left the long hair, and then the stress levels went through the roof for a couple of years and started losing a bit and whipped a lot off. So now it's great. You can just have a quick shower, throw the towel over and jump into bed. It's good.
Have you ever thought about the hardworking local TV journalists who have to deal with you showing up one week, full beard, long hair, and all of a sudden showing up the next week and us not knowing whether we've accidentally called the wrong person or you've put up somebody else from the club to talk to us because you got a totally different looking person on your hands? Have you ever once thought about us?
No.
You're not on the run from anyone or anything, are you?
That's been asked many a time. Yeah, and yeah, right. Not at this stage. Not that I know of anyway. Hopefully not. Yeah.
Best canine in the Riverina, mate?
Because I'm going to think about this one. I'm thinking enough to go with sort of the Gourmet out there. They
Yeah, bakery.
Can't, yeah. Yeah. Out there. You can't beat the Gourmet pies. They're unreal.
Yep.
Surf or ski, your preference?
Big skier. Well, I'm a boarder. I grew up skiing and I would really love to get back on them, but well, it's lost that art, but I'm a big snowboarder, yeah.
There you go. And Sean, best footy trip destination. Where would you like to go if you had to take your team somewhere?
Oh, we're going to Wollongong, but can't beat... they're all good. Anyway, they're as good as what you make of them. I've done Cairns, Goldie, Adelaide, Darwin. Yeah, can't really split them. Goldie was good.
Where'd you go in Adelaide?
We just stayed there for the weekend. Where weren't we?
Oh, Hindley Street?
Everywhere.
Outstanding.
Yeah, very good, Sean. Look, thank you so much for your time this morning on The Run Home. Great to have you in. I know you get this question quite a lot. Do you know what you are doing next year at this stage? Have you made a decision? And if you haven't, can you give us a bit of an idea of where you may be?
Yeah, not quite. Give me, straight after this, I'm actually making a phone call. So give us a couple of hours and I'll...
We're quite happy to have that phone call on you. And put let's put it to air.
Yeah. No. I've got to make a phone call and that's obviously down in Melbourne because that's where I'm going to be living. Yep. And I'd love to play... test myself in some good footy again, whether that be just playing or coaching, with this one that could be the potential, coaching a good league and play. So that'd be both boxes ticked.
Good on you. Yeah, very good. Sean, thank you so much for coming in this morning. Terrific insight into your career and your time in the Riverina Football League. And I think on behalf of all of us here, Matt and Ned, and for footy fans around the Riverina, thank you so much for having some time and telling us about your time in the Riverina this morning. And again, all the best.
Not a worry. Thanks for having me.
Sean Campbell here on The Run Home. We'll take a quick break and return with more shortly. Welcome back to The Run Home in our fifth and final episode for 2018, brought to you by AFL Riverina. Rightio, guys, big weekend in the Farrah Football League on the weekend with the massive Farrah League Grand Final down at Robertson Oval. Huge win for the Mara Footy Club, picking up their back-to-back premiership in the centenary year. What an effort. Congratulations to all involved. And Matt, well done to you, mate, on taking out the Twos premiership. Yeah. You must have been stoked.
Oh, a lot of the day. No, it was a good day, as I said earlier, for the Mara Footy Club. As I said last week, the second grade one could have gone either way. We were lucky enough to get on top in the second and third quarter for a little bit, and were able to hang on, so that was good. But yeah, geez, the first grade game reminded me a lot of last year's grand final, Mara Tamora. Was I the only one who could see the similarities Mara kicked away in the third quarter with the breeze, and then it was just a case of hanging on for how long they could hang on. And North Wagga probably just missed, a bit like Tamora last year, missed a few opportunities to kick a goal there in the last quarter. Got one through a 50-metre penalty, but I couldn't help but see the similarities last year.
Yeah, I think I can see the similarities for sure, because it was, if you saw it on the screen, you would think it was a nice day out. What are the excuses for the ball use? But then you realise it was just absolutely blowing a gale, just like it was last year.
Yeah, conditions were the same.
I think it was a better game than last year, because I feel like last year was pretty much played between the 50s. And not many teams could really muster many scoring opportunities. But I think this year they tend to get it at least closer to goal a bit more often. So you had that tense pressure of scoring opportunities, probably a little more than last year. But you're right, the similarities were just plain to see for anyone who follows it pretty closely.
Yeah, and I think it probably just in the end, I spoke about this last week, but it was a massive effort in North Wagga to have to keep backing up like they did over the last 5 or 6 weeks. And in the end, I think that probably just told. They didn't quite have the energy levels there in that crunch times there in the third quarter and the last quarter. They just couldn't quite probably generate the run they'd probably showed at different times against.
You're right. The Bombers just kept North Wagga at arm's length all day. And whilst the North Wagga had tried their hearts out and would make a run, you just never sort of felt they were going to quite get there.
No,
Mara just seemed to have them at a comfortable distance. And whilst North would make a run, you could just see it was always everything would basically have to be, they'd have to play perfect football, and the conditions were too hard to do that.
It was interesting to see the parallels between the grand final and the last time they played, where it was pretty much a 10-minute burst that won the game for Mara, and the Saints just had no answer for it. We're talking probably I say 10 minutes, that's probably being a bit nice as well. It was probably a 5-minute burst where you just saw goal after goal just out of the centre, over the top, players running in. And it probably gets back to what you were talking about, having that extended period of time where they just didn't have the energy to kind of, you know, sink their feet in the ground and just hold the fort and hold them off a little bit. But then once those three goals got back, and in those conditions, you know, the winning team scoring, what was it, 9 goals or something like that, it's just those three goals are just crucial, and to give them up without a response ended up being the game.
Yeah, we didn't know it at the actual time, but reflecting on the game at final siren time, Matt, those back-to-back goals by Wolgers were basically the game breakers.
He was the match winner, wasn't he? He's just classy. He just he knows where the goals are. He's clean with the footy. He's just got composure when he gets the footy. And yeah, his couple of goals there in the third quarter were really good. Look, obviously, and he won the best on ground medal. Jack Reynolds, he had an exceptional third quarter as well. A couple of the intercepts he took, and then he, you know, ran up the ground doing a few things.
I thought conspicuous in that blue headgear too, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah. But I thought Jack and Zach were probably the class. They were probably the X factor that probably won Mara the game. I thought the Taylor brothers were enormous down back. Clint Taylor in his final game of footy was super. I actually said to him after the game, I'm not quite sure if you're machine or human. He just continues to put his body, just keeps going and going and going and spoiling and reading. He just does 1,001% as a game. And it probably doesn't pick you up votes in a best on ground medal type scenario, but without him and his brother Mitch, who's very, very similar, Mara wouldn't have won the grand final.
It's glad he was recognised by the club. When you say a guy that works so hard, I mean, he obviously stands out because he's a great player, but he does do the 1%.
Oh, 100%.
And all that work that he has put in has been rewarded.
So one moment in the game that really sticks out to me, it's not going to go on any highlight reels or anything like that, but there was a moment in, I think it was just before the Bombers went on that run. I think they'd kicked one goal and I think it was Corey Watt had the opportunity to kick a goal from about 30 metres out, but he just, I think whether he started looking at the goals before he really secured the ball, or he took a false step or didn't immediately go for the goal, fumbled with the ball a little bit, and they went straight back down the other way, kicked another goal, and then I think two goals after that. Mm. I couldn't help but thinking after the game how the game could have been different if Watt shorthanded that, kicked the goal, and just stemmed the bleeding immediately as a result. And all of a sudden, we've got a one-point game on our hands instead of what would quickly turn to a three-goal game in those conditions.
For sure. Got to mention Daniel Jordan's mark. It was an absolute hanger, wasn't it? No. He took a beauty.
And his goal in the first.
Yes, it was. Didn't he hook onto it?
Yeah,
and,
he can play.
He can. And he knew he took a carbon copy of the first one. Unfortunately, he just couldn't quite clutch it. It spilt from his mitts, but that would have been a beauty as well.
And it wasn't a day for key forwards again, was it? So for him to have an impact like he did, and I thought Adam White did a pretty good job on him for a young 17-year-old, but either end of the ground, you look at the key forwards, and no one probably really had a big impact on the game just because the conditions were the way they were.
I think young Reynolds was a very deserving winner of best on ground, because it was one of those games where I was speaking with Pete up in the box about it, and we were asking each other in the third quarter, who do you think's got best on ground? Because no one has stood out. But that, like you said, that one quarter, that third quarter burst that Reynolds had, where he was so clearly above and beyond the, maybe not the most prolific player, but he was the crispest player on the ground. His disposal was better than anybody else's. He won some crucial contests, intercepted it. I think he must have prevented probably about four potential inside 50s for the Saints at a crucial moment of the game, and really got that rebound back to where they got that run of goals on. He was just, for about a 15-minute burst, he just looked a class above everyone else, which is pretty remarkable for a player of his age.
Yeah, 100%.
That's it. Congratulations to both clubs. Firstly, to Mara, for obvious reasons, in taking out the three grades in footy. A magnificent day. And secondly, to the North Wagga Football Club, a club who was on their knees a handful of years ago. We must remember they went into recess there, and they come back in a very big way. Matt, just before we move on, we've got some fun questions to finish off the podcast, or our podcast for 2018. Mara first grade, how would they look next year? Like, obviously we've got a couple of retirees coming in after the grand final. Can you give us an idea?
There'll be a few changes. Yeah, because you've got Clint Taylor, Brad Turner and Brad Langtry finishing up. There's one or two others that are a little bit, you know, maybe not be there next year. Oh, obviously Freddie Sleath and Curtis Allen. I don't think they'll be back at this point in time. So that's already five or six that they're going to have to find. But then I suppose you look and they've won the reserve grade flag and they've won the 17s flag, and geez, there's some talent in that 17s team. So I think that's where, like, I think you look, Reece Mooney, Toby Lawler, Zach Lewis, Nate Mooney, Drew Bevan, these are guys I mentioned in the Mara 17 side who all played a fair bit of first grade during the year, and I'm probably forgetting a few of them. So they'll probably play more first grade next year. It'll be a bit of a newer look, but you got to do that. You got to bring the kids through, and that's where, you know, some hard work's been done in the last few years out at Mara to get 17s going. There's a bit of a relationship there with the Wagga Swans, and now those kids, we'll look forward to seeing them progress through to first grade and, have really good senior careers.
Do you think they're the kind of kids who can immediately slip in and kind of, you mentioned they played a few games this year in first grade, but do you think, I think of say Tamora this year, where they probably they were hoping to get immediate impact from some of their 18s, their 17s probably didn't quite go to plan. Do you think that's...
Yeah, no, well, I think they are. Look, they won't come in and play on ball or key position straight away, but I think at different times throughout the year, certainly Reece Mooney kicked, you know, three or four goals a couple of times in games. Toby Lawler was close to our best a couple of times, and Zach Lewis in a couple of games he played was in our best as well. So it shows they can handle senior footy. It's just about, you know, playing, you know, they won't go in straight away and play in the middle of the ground, but they'll come in and play their role, and I'm sure they'll handle the step up.
What are your thoughts on North Wagga? Do you think it has the potential to be almost a two-team competition again next year?
I think North Wagga will be there for sure, because I can't see them losing too many. There are so many homegrown ones there. I think the pack will come. I think Northern Jets, watch for them to improve. There's already talk about a few players from there returning home. Tamora, look, they'll be determined to improve, as will the rest of them. But I think, I can't see it. I certainly wouldn't see it being a two-horse race. I think the Jets and Tamora and East Wagga, of course, sorry, with Matty Hard there and all that sort of stuff. I think they'll be coming.
Okay, boys, we're going to move on to the AFL itself now because we've got absolutely two monster games being played this weekend. Preliminary final weekend in the Australian Football League. On Friday, firstly, is the Richmond Tigers up against the Collingwood Magpies, and the Eagles will meet Melbourne on Saturday afternoon in Perth. So the first one, boys, Tigers versus Maggies, who are we going for here? Who do we think? Unbelievable game.
I really wish these teams weren't playing each other. I want this in the grand. I want this to be a grand final.
I get it now.
I think there's so many people out there, I think, who would love to see this scenario in the grand final. I just don't think you can go past Richmond. They're irresistible, really. When they're at their best, they've shown all year that no one can come near them at their best, and they've shown no reason to suggest that they won't bring their best to the preliminary final.
Okay, that's Ned Balm from Prime 7. Matt Malone, Wagga Daily Advertiser.
It'll be better for my home life if Collingwood win. my wife's a Collingwood supporter. But no, I think Richmond, I can't see. You know, they've just been the best side all year, haven't they? And so consistently good. So, I think they'll get the job done.
So un-Richmond-like from what we've come to think of the past.
That's true too,
Richmond in the past 30 years, and all of a sudden we're talking about this team that's far and away better than everyone else and consistent above anything else. It seems so, even after a year of them winning the premiership, so strange to say.
Yeah, I'll go Richmond two boys. I still can't believe this turnaround from Nathan Buckley, and I still hope they pour kudos and praise on him after no matter what happens this weekend and how the season finishes up, because again last year they were coming at him from all angles.
Well, he was almost gone, wasn't he?
Oh, he was. He was gone.
If it probably wasn't Eddie, his probably biggest supporter in the presidency, he may not have survived.
He's done such a good job, because not only have they exceeded on the field, but there's not many, apart from probably the Adelaide Crows this year with that ongoing saga with their pre-season camp, there's probably not too many coaches who have dealt with more off the field stuff, whether it's Eddie putting his foot in his mouth on radio and questions all of a sudden being about that, whether it's about players under investigations for drug use or anything like that, whether it's DeGoey and his dog and DeGoey and other things.
Then you if you wanted to wind the clock back, Ned, to the Rat Pack days.
He's had this constant, but I think it goes to show the relationship that he has with his players as well, that he can still get the best out of them despite the fact that there just seems to be always this stuff. And I've always wondered what Bucks could do with a distraction-free year at his disposal and a playing list that is only limited by injuries and not things off the field taking players away from the paddock. I think he's done a tremendous job, and like you said, I hope he gets his gets his kudos regardless of the result on the weekend.
Very good. Okay, boys, we'll move to the next one. This is the West Coast Eagles versus the Melbourne Demons at 4:20 our time, Saturday afternoon. Matt, I'm going to turn your microphone off for this one.
No, you won't get too much. I'll go West Coast. I'll tip West Coast, but this is not with a heap of confidence, I've got to be honest. Melbourne are coming, aren't they? They've been brilliant the last couple of weeks. They beat us over in Perth a couple of weeks before finals as well. So, do we say, I'm scared. That's fair enough to say.
Yeah, look, I don't know if we pay West Coast enough credit. We mentioned that, it's a massive home ground advantage playing at home and the crowd gets behind them. They've got to travel a lot. Mm. And you've still got to finish top two.
They've had a ripping year, and exceeded my expectations, that's for sure. Can I put out a pre-warning to anyone at Narangia Sports Ground on Saturday? Don't come and tell me the score. I'm going to try.
Oh, are you really?
Well, I think I'm going to try and ignore scores and somehow tape it and go home and watch it. That's what I'm going to try and do.
I'll be grabbing a pair of earmuffs out of the back shed for you.
Are we going to have Shane Buchanan over the loudspeaker at the ground saying, anybody who would like updates on the AFL score.
And you know what you've done there too, Matt.
If anyone doesn't like
everyone
me,
does the opposite. So you maybe shouldn't have done anything there. Anyway,
we'll see.
Ned?
I being from WA, you would think I'd be cheering on West Coast, but I don't like either WA teams.
Oh, no, this is terrible.
But I also really dislike Melbourne. I basically don't like anybody.
How can you dislike Melbourne? Aren't they?
Quite comfortably. Really? I can very, very easily dislike Melbourne. And the reason I'm going with West Coast, because this just seems like the perfect time for Melbourne to remind people that they are Melbourne.
You're a cruel man.
It seems about three times a year, they go for an upswing, then they get brought back down to earth. They bring people's expectations up again, then go back down. It just seems like now is about the time that, in the most cruelest of ways, they're going to remind their fans that they are the demons. And I won't believe the Demons to be a premiership contender until they win a premiership. And even then, I probably won't totally be convinced.
Can I just ask you why you dislike the WA team so much when you actually are a...
Oh, well, I'm not a born and bred WA guy. I mean, I moved to WA when I was 14. And you move from Melbourne to WA, where in Melbourne you get coverage of 10 teams. And then all of a sudden you move to WA where the lead story on the news is... I mean, well, Ben Cousins most of the time, but for other reasons. But yeah, you just hear about all these things.
So you're saturated in
You're just a bit saturated, and it's a little bit different in Adelaide's similar, but just the proximity of Adelaide to Melbourne means you just get this natural crossover. And there's been that consistent rivalry between South Australia and Victoria, so there's that. They're always paying attention to what each other are doing. Whereas in WA, it's isolated, and I think the Sandgropers, they prefer it that way. They like to be isolated. So I'm going for West Coast for no other reason than I just think that this would be the most heartbreaking way for the D's to disappoint their fans.
Gee, wow. This is just extraordinary. Okay,
That's football analysis 101 right there.
Matt, I'm quite prepared to write you a written apology. But I'm going to go with the D's.
No, that's fine, mate.
And look, you did a lot of work for me today. And I know you're probably going to want that back now. But, so I am prepared to actually write a written apology. But,
maybe I said this stuff was wrong. Maybe I knew this was coming. No, this would
say last laugh, eh? No, look, the D's are absolutely flying. They're eating up the pressure. They're absolutely thriving. That is going to be an incredibly hard game to win over there. They have done it before, but when the ball is bounced on the weekend, it's nil all. Don't know. I don't think there'll be anything in it. I'll go with the D's with heart, and I don't know, to be honest. That's okay, it's going to be a beauty.
Jeez, that'd be a massive grand final. Oh, Richmond, Melbourne.
Collingwood, Melbourne would too, wouldn't they?
Three Melbourne teams.
Basically, yeah. Just West Coast do the right thing and don't be in it. But if it's Richmond to Collingwood v Melbourne, is that the biggest grand final since when?
Yeah, no, it's a... Would it be recent? Yeah. Collingwood St Kilda?
Hawthorn Geelong, maybe? 08?
Yeah.
But I think we can't reach a record anymore, can we? I think you've got to wind the clock back to the old MCG. It was something like 110,000.
I think it was like Collingwood Carlton, 121.
Was it really?
Something ridiculous. But not just attendance, but just purely the build-up. Because last year would have been the biggest if Adelaide weren't in it. If it was somebody else, if it was a Melbourne team against Richmond, it would have been the biggest build-up to a grand final probably in about 20 years.
Yeah.
I'm just intrigued to know what people's opinions are of whether a Melbourne versus Richmond or Melbourne versus Collingwood grand final would be the biggest lead-up to when.
Yeah. Okay, guys, so that's all to come, the prelim weekend this weekend. We're going to move on now to our final segment, and I know, Ned's just been ducking and weaving, trying to avoid some of those questions. They're hard-hitting questions. And Matt Malone
he's not the one who's been ducking and weaving.
Can't
though,
wait right? here. Final show. You wouldn't believe that, Matt, would you? Then I won't be in the hot seat for this
That's
year.
Right.
I can't believe
surprise,
it.
Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, there you go. Rightio, Ned. Here we go, mate.
Hit
Matt,
me.
Get us underway, mate. We're putting Ned Barm in the hot seat.
Yep. All right. Any nicknames?
Probably not these days.
It's hard to shorten Ned up, isn't it?
Yeah, but you also get the really imaginative ones like Kelly.
Oh,
Ned
wow.
Kelly, yeah.
Growing
up in the 90s, Flanders was a good one.
Barmy?
Yeah, Barmy, of course. Nothing too imaginative. When I was in America, they just called me Australian.
Yeah.
Just because I was the only I was the only Australian in Oklahoma. So so probably Barmy is the one that suits most, but who knows? If I play footy next year, another one might pop out of the woodwork. I don't know.
Okay, mate. Best quarterback in the NFL, the American Footy League.
Well, I am a Vikings man, but I'm not sold on Kirk Cousins yet. You can't go past Tom Brady. He's the perfect human being. More than
human
anything.
Being.
That's not just, he's not, just
grab.
Not just quarterback. He just is.
Big
he's,
what about air flight gate?
He can do whatever he wants. he can cheat and come out the other end smelling like roses.
Oh, we get it. Now.
He can do anything he wants, and he's 41 and he's playing the best football of his career at 41 years old. It's the easy question, but it's the correct one. It's the correct answer.
That sounds good. What's the funniest, weirdest on air moment you've had?
I had a few when I was doing the Comm Games early this year, but my personal favourite was when I was just doing a piece to camera down at Mar Oval before a Riverina game. And you want to get the nice, perfect background for your setup. And obviously Mar Oval's got the gates with Mar Oval on it. So I went and closed the gates just to get the nice look on it. And I've realised I've locked the dump truck in there or something like that. So this guy's interrupting me halfway through. And I open the gates and I come out and Truman Carroll's driving the truck. It was a story I was doing about Turvey. So I spoke to him 2 hours before that. And then we crossed paths as I was doing a piece to camera outside Turvey with me locking him at the ground. So good omen.
Yeah, there you go. Best player, Ned, in the Balm family.
What sport?
Oh, gee, okay. Basketball or footy?
Oh, God. Well,
you cover a few?
Not really. Yeah. I haven't really played footy in a while. My dad will tell you our Uncle Ian. So, obviously, Uncle Neil's resume speaks for itself. My dad played about 260 odd for Norwood in the Sandful after a handful for Richmond. But though my dad and my uncle will both tell you their older brother Ian was the best. I think he may have played a handful of under 19s maybe at Richmond back in the day.
Yeah, right.
Apart from that, it kind of just...
Where did he end up playing?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. Yeah. I'm not really too sure. But I feel like everybody's got a brother everyone's got a brother that was better than everybody else that actually has the resume. Yeah. Luckily, I do not, because my brother didn't play footy. So technically, I'm the best son, because I was the only one who played, even though my last accomplishment was the 2004 Ashy Redbacks Grand Final footy factory down at Ashburton Redbacks in Melbourne.
Nothing wrong with that. University of Central Oklahoma or Murdoch University?
UCO, all day. Murdoch University were my formative years after all boys Catholic school. Grow the hair out, you know.
Wild stuff.
Crazy. Grow the hair out, you know. Maybe consider joining Greenpeace or something. But then you quickly come to your senses. And yeah, UCO is where I graduated from. It's where I spent 3 years of my life. Where it helped define me. And heading back there in a month to go back for homecoming and check out a few football games. So that's where my heart is in Oklahoma.
Very good. Ned, favourite AFL commentator?
I might catch some flack for this. I love BT.
No.
I absolutely love him.
You're a BT fan as well.
I feel in this day and age when everyone is trying to be more serious and take things more serious than they should be, and everyone says, "Ooh, I don't know about that," or "Ooh, that's not a good look." I feel like BT he'll say his stupid stuff. He'll, you know, bring out his nahahas and his oratios, and you can't deny that he's different to everybody else. And I think the fact that everyone doesn't like him is probably one of the main reasons I do like him. So, BT.
Best canteen in the Riverina. Are you a pie or a hot dog man?
I'm a sausage roll man myself. It's the ease of being able to eat it on the go.
I don't mind it. It makes sense.
Yeah, I'm just interested to know. It's great to see you've really thought about it.
Substance over style. You know, I like to know that if at a moment's notice, if I have to leave the ground, I don't have to think, oh, I got this pie. You know, how am I going to eat this in the car? It's like, nah, sausage roll, got it on the go. I'm actually going to go with Hardy from a couple of weeks ago and say Gumley. Played a couple of reserves games out there a couple of years ago when I first moved here, and they do good work out there.
Very good. Who wrote this question? At your college peak, how much did you bench press, Ned?
Ned actually wrote this one.
Oh, sent it in. Yeah, I can work it out. Pretty sent it in. I came in on the tweet, Ned.
I made sure it was.
Matt Irons just laughing his head off in the background here.
College, not much, because as a specialist, they've mostly had you on your own routine and stuff. A lot of leg work and hip work and flexibility and stuff like that. Benches got better since I left, actually, because I didn't want to. Okay. I didn't want to. You know, all my friends in the US were defensive linemen and linebackers, and you don't want to look small next to them. So basically, my main goal over there was to make sure I couldn't easily be defined as, oh, that guy's obviously a kicker. So basically, you end up putting on 20 kilos when you're over there, and you come back trying to play a bit of Aussie rules football and find out you are in no way, shape, or form fit to play the modern game.
Right.
So, yes, I won't answer that question.
Describe Northeastern State in one word.
Northeastern State is our University of Central Oklahoma's biggest rival. They're nothing.
Okay.
They're nothing to me.
Gee, wow. Rightio, Ned, we'll move on. Can you win the Marul silo kick? Now, we understand you're going to travel out there, put your spikes on and have a real crack at this of putting the Sharon over the top of the silos. What are your chances?
Oh, well, I've already put myself out there. You got to be confident. In saying that, it's probably not a case of can. It's more a case of when. Will you win it? Probably a better question would be, who do you think is going to come second?
God, this is
confidence.
Yeah.
I'm literally just talking like I want AFL players to talk when I'm asking them questions, but unfortunately we don't get that. Quietly confident. As my footballing ability has waned, my ability to kick a footy a long way from fullback has tend to stay pretty good. So I'm not quietly confident. I'm confident, but happy to be humbled by any of the good footy players out here.
What's the chances of you getting a technical foul at social basketball?
Ooh, very high. Very high. I think I'm going for a 3-game streak at the moment.
Really?
Well, I was warned last week because apparently you can't. I don't know. I did some stuff which they consider a tantrum. I do not. I don't know why. And then I learned that you can't just yell in people's faces as they're going up to take shots. You can only yell ball. So now I've just learned that I can just yell ball really loudly in their faces, and then they can't foul me for anything. So, pretty high chance of that. 8-10 at the 8-10 at Bolton Park tonight. We're playing the second bottom team. So, fair chance of an upset, I think, actually. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. I think we're on a 5-game winning streak, so look out.
Okay, Ned, favourite establishment in Wagga?
Well, I live right around the corner from Sporties, so they know me. They know me, and I don't have to pay for a cab home.
Right.
And I mean, that's pretty much the criteria you need right there for a good establishment. The fact that it's a nice place who won't kick you out for being a bit of a galoot, and you can walk home if they do. So that seems to be a pretty good establishment to me.
Very good.
No, very good. Is the Prime 7 newsroom really like the movie Anchorman?
Not at all, unfortunately. It's, I'm not really sure if I would want it to be. It's an interesting environment. It's different for me because I'm the only sport journalist there. So I tend to just sit back with my hands crossed and laugh when other people have to deal with whatever it is, council matters, Chinese investors, anything in that regard. I don't have to deal with a lot of that stuff, which I'm pretty thankful about. I'll stick to sport and stick in my own little corner. So no loud suits or back alley brawls between... I mean, I play with the aforementioned basketball team also consists of two journalists from Nine, so we're not going to exactly fight anytime soon. So, no, unfortunately not.
And Ned, to wrap it up in the hot seat for our final episode on the Runner Home this week, any three people you'd like to invite to dinner, who would you invite?
Hope
we get a mention here, mate.
Yeah, well...
I'm not sure.
It's been a good 5 weeks. We've come a long way.
I'm not sure if you'd want to after the first bloke, Trump, for what? Sure.
Really, Donald Trump.
Yeah. What? Why not?
Oh, okay.
He'd tell some great stories. I mean, they wouldn't be true, but they'd be great stories. Yeah, Trump. Mark Jacko Jackson would be interesting.
Goodness,
jeez. Yeah.
Yeah, right. I hope the third. I'm glad we're not there. Or
yeah, and third, to keep the peace. Yeah, Dalai Lama.
Right, gee, they're three of the most. Well, it's your choice. Right. You can pick whoever you want, but they're very interesting choices. I must say.
I won't be at the table. I'll just be kind of watching behind a two-way mirror just to see how it all unfolds.
Yeah. Okay. I'm starting to make a lot of sense now. Well, there you go. So who were they, Ned? They were Donald Trump, Mark Jacko Jackson, and the Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can't go wrong.
I certainly wouldn't have guessed any of those.
Can't imagine. Just look at me. I look like a Trump, Jacko Jackson, Dalai Lama kind of guy.
Yeah, okay. Very good. Rightio, guys. Well, that wraps it up for our final episode of The Run Home for 2018. We sincerely hope you enjoyed our podcast over the last few weeks. And who knows? Maybe next year they might invite us back. What do you think, Matt? No?
Oh, no. Who knows? Who knows? 12 months is a long time. They might have got over it by then or are prepared to give us another chance. Who knows?
Or alternatively, just not the finals. Round one. Let's do it.
Jeez.
Every week.
Matt Irons is just rolling his eyes in the background. He's just going, oh, no.
Might run out of special guests by week three, perhaps. Yeah.
No, boys, in all seriousness, Matt Malone, thank you so much for the run home over the last few weeks. Done a great job, mate, and thank you so much for bringing in all of the your knowledge. I don't know, as I said, I think in the first podcast, I don't know if there's a man in the Riverina that's seen more local Aussie rules than yourself, so thank you.
No, thank you, Luke, and, you know, first time in the studios here, and you've showed us the ropes and led us very well, so appreciate all your help. You too, Ned, and to Matt and Sarah from the AFL, I suppose. Thank you. For getting us here, and it's been good. It's been good fun.
Very good. And Ned Balm from Prime 7. Thank you, Ned.
Thank you very much for having me, and have a good call on the weekend.
Good on you, mate. Appreciate that. So from Matt Malone, Ned Balm, and Luke Francis, thank you so much for tuning in to the Run Home, the AFL Riverinas podcast for the final series. Everyone, make sure you enjoy this weekend, the RFL Grand Final Day. It's going to be an absolute beauty. We can't wait. And, well, don't forget prelim final in the AFL. It is going to be an absolute ripper. Once more, from Matt Malone, Ned Balm and Luke Francis from Triple M Radio, we wish you all the best. We'll talk to you next year, possibly.